Pastor's Heart, Dominic Steele here. And look, we're talking church staffing today, and there are so many stories of everything going pear-shaped by really poor staffing decisions and poor leadership decisions. And I think we're talking the pastor's heart. And as I talk to senior ministers, I think there's more senior minister anguish over this area of church life than basically any other. And there's an expectation from the congregation that we would be able to, as a staff team, just work this area out perfectly. And then when it doesn't work out perfectly, the collateral damage for the congregation and the ministry of Jesus is just devastating. My guest today, Raj Gupta, the senior minister of Toongabie Anglican Church in Western Sydney, and also a consultant with the Centre for Ministry Development. And look, before we get to Raj, though, we're asking for your support. Could you subscribe to The Pastor's Heart? Could you let friends know to subscribe? Well, if you're on the Apple device, it's bit.ly/thepastorsapple. If you're on Android, it's bit.ly/thepastorsandroid. If you're on Spotify, it's bit.ly/thepastorsspotify. And to subscribe on YouTube, it's just bit.ly in your browser /thepastorsyoutube. Now, coming up over the next couple of weeks, well, next week we're going to be talking to David Jones. He's a senior Presbyterian minister, just retired, and he's been involved in 5 church plants and 2 church revitalizations. And we're going to be talking to him about lessons learned in 40 years of Christian ministry. Peter Mayrick is going to come back and talk to us on the whole issue of how to integrate new people into the church and how to do that welcoming. We're going to talk global trends in theological education and the principal of Moore Theological College, Dr. Mark Thompson, is going to be here to talk about what's going on. He's just on a tour of theological colleges everywhere and coming back with a report, and he'll be sharing that with us. And look, Ed Shaw is going to be our guest. He's from livingout.org, same-sex attracted Christian from the UK, Christian minister. He's going to be out here in Sydney speaking for the Liberty Group in August, and he's going to be our guest coming up on The Pastor's Heart as well. But now to Raj Gupta. Welcome, Raj.
Thanks, Dominic. Good to be back, mate.
It's lovely to have you. Now, am I right in saying more senior ministers in anguish over this area, and actually assistant ministers in anguish than just about any other?
I think so, and that's the thing I just wanted to add to your intro, that the pain involved in this area of staffing is very significant on all ends of a spectrum.
Mm.
And I,
because we hear some of the ex-assistants and their pain, but there is pain on the minister's side as well.
There's pain all round, yeah. And I think it then extends into the congregations, and that impacts ministries, as you talk about. And I was talking to someone about this stuff recently, and they just made the point to me that as we have shifted and shifting to more toward team ministry, the thing we haven't done in conjunction with that, that is now coming back to bite, just how all of these staffing relationships work.
Mm.
We haven't been trained largely in doing it. We haven't had a framework. We've assumed, perhaps not consciously, but we've just assumed that people who love Jesus will get on well, will work well, will be on the same page, will have the same goals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're now seeing actually it involves a bit more work than that.
Mm. So why is it different? I'm just thinking, I'm somebody who starts out in Christian ministry, and it doesn't take me long when I start out in Christian ministry to be involved in leading others, whether it begins leading my community group, Bible study group, ends up me being a beach mission team leader, ends up leading teams of ministry in the church of volunteers. Why is it different with staff?
Yeah, great question, and a question I've wrestled with myself. And then one day I came across the framework, the Leadership Pipeline, that just really helped me in this zone.
Now, people who want to know about the Leadership Pipeline should go and watch our last discussion.
We talked a lot about the Leadership Pipeline last time, whenever that was. And really, when you're talking about staff, you're talking about another level of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can easily assume you've, and you're not doing this, but we don't even think about it. We keep going on in ministry the way we've always gone on. We've led leaders in this way, so then we have more senior positions and we operate, we just go harder.
Mm-hmm.
But the Leadership Pipeline framework, it just, when I read it, I just thought, it's just not that simple. You actually have to work differently. And when you come to staff, you have to work particularly differently, because now you're not just in a sense, managing or delegating tasks, mm-hmm. but you're delegating more significant responsibility. And there's many pressures that come with that. There's the financial side of things. There's a responsibility to the congregation. There's wanting to use money well. There's alignment of goals when it comes with responsibilities. There's a whole bunch of factors. And so the skills you need and the values that you have, they shift. And I think staff's one of those areas where it really comes to the fore.
And I suppose, I mean, we can't do that whole leadership pipeline discussion again, and people should go and watch that. But I suppose it's the case that as you put a staff member on, you're expecting them to move up a notch in the leadership pipeline, and you yourself are moving up a notch in the leadership pipeline as the employer.
Well, that is true, although I suspect most people don't think about it. So my own experience, I mean, most of my lessons in this area have come from my own mistakes.
Yeah, well, sorry, we're on the pastor's heart. So you're telling me that it's not always gone perfectly for you, right?
I have learned so much. When
I just assumed, you being the one who coaches and all that kind of thing, that it had just been hunky-dory forever.
Well, my interest in this area and training now, in no small part, is born out of my own mistakes, my own learnings. A whole bunch of things. When I went to Toongabie...
It's just you and me. You tell us about
them. Yeah,
mate.
Right, okay. Wherever you are in the world listening, hello. It's great to have you. But, you know, when I went and became the lead pastor, senior minister, director of Toongabie, whatever your preferred title is, I didn't meet with my staff one-to-one.
Right.
It just, you know, we had staff meetings, and I believe that's an advance. Many mm-hmm. places don't even have staff meetings. But over time, I just saw the inadequacy of that.
Mm.
And so that's just one example, even just of me. It's not that I didn't value people. So, I certainly did.
So how do you do it? I mean, I've got a logic for this interview. And we've
apologise.
But let's just jump in on managing the staff and one-to-one meetings. What's your kind of rule, a couple of rules of thumb for you there?
Over time, in one-to-one meetings, I have moved from more unstructured to more structured.
Mm-hmm.
So I came across a bit of a template, a fortnightly kind of check-in process.
You do it
process,
fortnightly?
Pretty much, mm-hmm. yep. So there's goals that someone is determining for themselves, really, with my support and input. And then it's just a structured process. What are your goals? How are you going and achieving those goals for the term? And then what are four things on your agenda for each of the next 4 weeks? How can I pray for you? What struggles are you having? If you're married or you have a significant relationship, how's that going? Are there struggles? Are there health issues? That's the skeleton of it.
Yeah.
So when we sit down now, we have a framework. I think it's helpful for people in the process of even thinking about meeting with me to go through that, not for my benefit, but for their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come and we talk through things. My question is, how can I help you?
Mm, that's interesting. I'll tell you what I do, and then I'm interested because I think I would meet weekly and roughly for half an hour, but it sounds like you're with the topics that you're going through, you're going longer than half
an
hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I picked up just from manager tools, what do you want to talk about, and then what do I want to talk about? But I can see the wisdom in adding those greater structure things. But then how do you do – I mean, I use Asana. So every time I have a thought that I want to talk to Raj about something, I just pop it in the Asana in the task of Dominic.
What's Asana, Dominic? I've never heard of that.
Haven't you?
No.
Okay, it's a free task management system.
Sure.
And I found that my big problem in managing staff was that I would ask them to do something and then I would forget and I'd come in with another idea next week or then I'd be annoyed. I'd be annoyed that it wasn't done, but I couldn't remember when I'd asked them or if I'd asked them. And so by having the Asana tool, it basically deals with my memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I use a different
what do you do?
Such
yeah.
tool. But look, I think it's important that the meetings end up being mapped into goals.
Yeah.
And the goals then are connected with annual goals, and then those annual goals are connected with the goals for the church.
Yeah.
So it's a whole process that kind of goes on. This is just how we work. Yeah. There may be better ways, and I'm interested to hear those better ways.
What I appreciate about what you were suggesting is that in the structured description you gave, I feel like some of those questions are just too personal and deep to go into every single week. Do you know? Whereas if you're doing it once a fortnight, I can see the wisdom in that.
Yeah. And it just varies depending on what's happening. There's a health issue for someone. I'm genuinely concerned about that health issue. Yeah. There's a personal issue that's going on.
And
we can spend most time talking about that.
Do you do it at the same time each fortnight? Or?
Yeah, just the way I've learned over the years. Again, a mistake. I had good intentions, but they didn't convert into reality.
Yeah.
When I was following the process of, let's work out when we're going to meet next time.
Yeah.
And so I've just said now at the start of the year, okay, when's a good regular time? Let's put it in on a fortnightly basis. Might be the second, fourth Monday of the month or whatever it is.
Yep.
And that way as well, there's just an understanding that sometimes I'm going to have something on or the person's going to have something on.
It will vary by a few hours
and,
or whatever.
Well, it might get varied or it might not happen.
Yeah.
But if you have it set up every fortnight for the year, it generally
happens.
It generally happens.
Yeah.
Now, there's other things we might do in addition to that as needs arise. But, you know, we want to start with the church goals that we've all worked on together as a team. And then flowing out of that, there's individual goals that then have a connection with someone's job description, or role description, as we call it at the Centre for Ministry Development. And then flowing, you know, then from there, each term, we pick up a few of those annual goals. And they become the headline things that we talk about. And I see my role being to try to help someone make progress on those things.
Now, let's go back to recruiting.
Yeah.
What are the mistakes that people make in recruiting that then come back to bite seriously?
You know, we at CMD, we have a whole course on this. It's a two-day course, leading staff workshops. and recruiting is a very big topic.
Yeah.
And
so we've got about 6 minutes.
Okay. Well, the more work one can do in recruiting, the less likely it is there's going to be conflicts of expectations. You're going to know about each other more so. I'm astonished to discover how many people are given references but don't check them. And
because they think, I trust my judgment in the conversation.
Yeah. Or there's some, you know, the urgency of filling the position.
Yeah.
You know, the youth ministry is not going to happen next week if I don't find someone. I need to plug that hole. And so the temptation is we take shortcuts. Now, almost invariably, those shortcuts come back to bite in some way. So, you know, there's interview. I've learned a whole lot about how to ask interview questions, behaviourally-based interview.
Give us a couple. What are the hot areas that people often fail to ask about?
Well, I think it's not so much about areas, it's about approach.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the saying is out there, which is known to many, which is past performance is the best indicator of the future. So you structure your interview around asking what people have done in specific situations that connect with what you're trying to employ someone for.
Yeah.
Rather than asking a more general question about how someone thinks.
Yeah.
So I have moved in that myself over 10 years from thinking I'm looking primarily for alignment in how we think and the rest will work itself out.
Yeah.
But someone might not have the skills for that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't necessarily come out, you know. You have all of the right thinking. You're on the same page theologically and so on. There's still some of that you ask. But I've moved far more now to behaviourally based interviewing questions. In the course, we talk a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about just the issue of kind of how we function as a employer-employee?
Yeah, thanks, Dominic. I think that's a brilliant question. And one of my great delights in my role with the Centre for Ministry Development has been working with a colleague, Jill Fulcher, who has come out of the secular HR world.
Yeah.
And so over a period of 12 months or so, our task under God was to bring together the secular HR world and the church world.
Yeah.
And we both went through lots of learning on it. In the secular world, we're trying to get a job done.
Yep.
We're trying to empower people toward goals. Often there's a profit motive that's operating in the background.
Yep.
In the church world, we don't have a profit motive.
Nope.
Our motive is to win people for mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to operate in a Christian way,
yep.
which is love.
Mm.
So to put it in the framework of the Bible now, we want to help people use their gifts. We want to help people develop their gifts on the one hand. Mm-hmm. And coming side by side with that, we also want to love people.
Yep.
The Bible talks about loving the household of God.
Yep.
So we need to bring those two things together, which is a great joy and also a challenge. Yeah. What was your question, Dominic? I feel like I was...
In the recruiting process,
yeah.
just setting things up right in terms of, well, what happens when you, the employee, disagree with me, the employer? Yeah.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, and I'm not talking about disagreeing about the nature of the resurrection or, you know...
I'm pleased to hear that, yeah.
Most... Thanks very much, Raj.
Well, these days, yeah. Well, okay, so one of the things I've just tried to be more content with is when someone on my team raises an issue and my reaction is against whatever they've raised, I just try to now stop and think, well, why are they saying that? Where are they coming from? Could I be wrong?
Yeah.
And something just the other day, actually, someone said to me something we're doing at church and they just... said they think we should stop.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I don't want to stop. And so my way forward of dealing with it is let's put that on our, we have a monthly staff meeting kind of tactical, you know, bigger picture kind of things, not just operational things. And I said, okay, let's put this issue on that monthly agenda and bounce it around the staff team. So I want to, you know, there's an example of maybe they're right, maybe I'm wrong. We need to bounce it around a wider group of people. It's not just what's coming out of my head because I'm shaped by all kinds of things. I mean, I have my own preferences, but we're trying to wrestle together with what's best for the congregation.
That's interesting. Can I
yeah.
go down a little rabbit hole there? You just said you have an operational day-to-day staff meeting and a monthly tactical staff meeting. We have a staff meeting on Tuesday afternoon after the pastor's hunt. I do the Bible. Then we do a kind of training discussion topic or it could be a tactical discussion we want to have about something. And then we go through our various ministry areas and partly report, partly ask for advice, partly discuss different topics. And so raising people up for ministry comes up in the ministry area. But you sound like you've got a different approach. Help me on that.
Yeah. So, and look, we talk about this in the course as well. And there are all kinds of different meetings that people can have with staff. Some are individual.
Yep.
So I think broadly speaking, you know, there's an annual strategic kind of meeting.
Yep.
There's
ticking that off.
Yeah. There's we do it monthly, but it's a tactical meeting. There's a weekly operational meeting, if I can put it like that. And then there's also the one-to-one meetings. Right. So all of those really are other staff meeting together in different ways, talking about different things. And it really was Patrick Lencioni in his book Death by Meeting, and there's a video on YouTube. You can Google that and find it from him. He just talks about the different types of meetings you can have and the importance of separating them. So, you know, you're in an operational meeting and all of a sudden someone raises an issue about changing something.
Yep.
It is easy in the operational meeting then to go off on a tangent.
Yep.
And usually when you do that, you don't resolve
that. You don't resolve the operation issues.
And you've just taken up a whole lot of time. Yeah. Well, you usually don't resolve the tactical issue.
Yeah.
But you've taken up all of his time. So Lencioni suggested you pigeonhole those things when they come up. So I you know, the one-to-one meeting I had with a staff member the other day, there was an issue. That's where I put it on the monthly tactical thing. Because if you talk about it in the operational thing, then you don't talk about the person who's walked into church yesterday for the first time and doesn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we've split up our meetings like that.
How much time do you give to each of them?
Now our, and this is just what we do, and, you know, I think it's the combination that varies in each context and can vary in each context depending on personalities.
And if you have bigger tactical decisions to do, you might need to allocate more time.
Well, I'll answer your question. Our annual strategic meeting is probably 2 or 3 days away, off-site.
Yep.
And Lindsay only talks about the importance of getting away.
Yep.
Our monthly tactical meeting is 2 hours. Our weekly operational meeting is 2 hours. In the week, we have the tactical monthly meeting. We still have the operational meeting. We're talking about different things.
Yeah.
But the tactical kind of issues need a bit more thought. So the ideal is someone has put some preparation and distributed something they can talk about. So we can think about beforehand and come more prepared rather than just off the cuff.
Right.
Which is what you do in the operational, kind of setting.
I'm back in employment interviews.
Yeah.
Where else do I get it wrong?
Well, in your case, Dominic, there's a long list.
I would say I've been doing this for 17 years. I reckon I had a pretty disastrous 2 years in 2009, 2010, that kind of time. But pretty much the rest of the time, in the kindness of God, things have gone well.
Yeah. Look, I'm just talking common things which we see people, shortcut. There's someone you know who you're really keen on.
Yeah.
Which means you don't go through a rigorous process.
Yeah.
Either in looking at who else might be out there or in getting beyond your strong personal connection with someone and thinking about their suitability for the role.
Yeah.
So that will be one thing. Another thing is, which we're discovering and we're starting to see a difference, is role descriptions are relatively new. And so we're only starting to see more recently that people have worked up proper role descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Role descriptions create expectations.
Yeah.
And it's a way of articulating that.
And if you've put it in the letter at the beginning, then actually when they say to you 9 months later, this isn't here, what are we doing here? Do you need to go, well, actually, we did talk about this.
So, look, just expectations. And, so they then flow through into goals, which then flow through into fortnightly meetings that flow through into... And it's not an antagonistic thing at all. It doesn't need to be. Some people think that it is, but it's just, my approach is my role is to help develop my staff.
Yeah.
And I've got other roles as well, but that's one of my roles. I want to see them develop. I want to give them opportunity.
Let's move past recruiting.
Yeah.
On to developing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you do that?
Look, again, this is something I'm learning, but things I've tried over the years. I've been astonished.
Do you have a weekly training thing with your staff, or what do you do? Yeah.
I don't have a separate weekly training thing, but the structures we've just talked about, there's training coming through all
everywhere.
Things I'm picking up in my own learning. I then feed in. We're having a tactical discussion about how we can change our welcoming processes or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And so I pull up the Centre for Mutual Development kind of template or whatever or I feed that into the discussion.
Yeah.
So there's training, I think, coming in many different ways. So locally through my input, which means I need to, be on top of things. But I also need to learn how to train people who are competent in areas that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a whole... As I looked at the leadership pipeline, which we talked about, before and on a previous occasion, that's just been a huge thing.
Yeah.
To learn how to help people in areas, I'll say it again, areas where they have more competence in than I do.
Yeah.
Which means I don't have the answers.
We did an interview last year with Rhett Harris on Team Ministry.
Yeah, right.
Which actually been one of our most played back interviews that people have kept going back to. And he said, as you develop ministry teams, it will quickly be that they become more competent in the ministry areas than you are. And I watched it happen, and it's been amazing to see. It used to be that I knew more about just about everything in this church than just about anyone, and that is wildly no longer the case.
Yeah. So sorry, keep on your developing question. Yeah. So that's part of it, which then means I need to be upskilled, which is really me shifting up through the leadership pipeline and operating in a different way. But also, we have moved over time to just in our training budgets at church, we try to have an amount there so that everyone can be trained. And I say to people, you tell me what conference you think or what form of training you think it is, and there's a certain amount in the budget, and we're going to pay for you to do that because you need to keep being developed. So there's another way. Some of my staff have mentors. I now have a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 10 years ago, I didn't have a mentor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just the accountability of a voluntary kind of accountability kind of step of it can be taken for granted, but it's really important. So my mentor with me the other day did what I need to do sometimes, and that is, just, he said to me, now, Raj, you said you had this goal.
Yeah.
What are you doing about it?
And you said...
And I said... I'd forgotten. No, I hadn't forgotten. I actually had a reason that I'm going slow on it.
Right.
And he said to me, oh, okay, Raj, I hear that. That's fine. Look, either you need to remove it as a goal... or you need to do something about it. and so it's little things like that, you know, that you know, come into this category of being able to coach someone and help someone develop.
Pretty hard to argue against him, isn't it?
Yeah. And so you know, in my head, just because of that conversation, it's okay, we're going to meet, you know, in... have 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, I'll have something for
I
you.
Know I need to have done one of those two things.
Yep.
And so when I help my staff to develop, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so we use the shared list, we use the fortnightly things. They're tools, but they're not tools for antagonism. They're tools to support one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recognising. You know, you've got these words. You've got recruit,
yeah, we have a little
engage,
diagram, yeah.
Develop, recognise staff.
You know, how good is it when someone says to you, Dominic, that was a job well done?
Mm.
I don't think we do it enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dominic, well done on the pastor's heart.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the contribution you're making in just stimulating issues and giving people an opportunity to think. It's exactly the same with our staff. You know, the other day I preached a sermon. Now, this doesn't often happen in my sermons, but on this particular occasion, as the day went on, I then got 3 or 4 different text messages from people who were there who expressed appreciation about some point or another.
Uh-huh.
And that's great.
Yeah.
It's encouraging.
Yeah.
So as the leader of the team, I need to recognise the efforts and not just assume, not just talk about the hard things, the things that aren't going well, but also talk about the things that are going well.
Yeah.
So I've tried to be more naturally deliberate, if
about
I can,
that, yeah.
You know, in that very process.
Do you find that comes naturally to you? I don't feel it. I feel I've had to try and intentionally do that.
I think there was a period where I had to be intentional, but this was part of my own
growth.
You know, development. We're
yeah.
talking about development, my own growth. And I think now... there's an issue that's come up, or someone's just done a fantastic family spot, or whatever it is, and I just, well done.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. I thought, why haven't I been doing this for years? I'm sorry to everyone I haven't done that with.
Tracking.
Yeah, so tracking. So if those sort of steps are in place, you know, if you're having the regular discussions, like, yes, it's about supporting, but it's also about tracking. So just like my mentor, okay, Raj, here are your goals. So I, with my staff, I have this fortnightly process, which we then review the goals annually. And that's tracking how things are going.
Yeah.
Okay, we're struggling with goal 3 for this term. What can I do to help?
Yeah.
Is there support you need? Are there resources you need? Is there admin support you need? Whatever it is. What are the blockages?
Yeah.
So that all comes into tracking. Now, the vast majority of time that, you know, that's appreciated and goes really well. Every now and again, though, that's where problems creep in. And
uh-huh.
You started, Dominic, you talked about you know, the pain that's out there on all sides. One of the things we just, you know, we talk about is what to do when the tracking
shows it's not working.
Shows that something's not working.
Yeah.
And one of the golden rules is there should be no surprises. You know, you really, if you're turning up one day, if I'm turning up and saying to you, Dominic, it's not working, you know, and you need to leave or whatever, and you're thinking, what's going on?
You never told me you wanted that stuff.
Yeah, there's a clash of expectations. And the lack of tracking has meant you don't know. And then the relationship's broken down to a degree where it's almost irretrievable.
Yeah.
So you need to start really early on, and most of the time will be really positive.
Yeah.
And help expectations be on the same page. But every now and again, you'll end up in a place where you're doing that, and very, it's really sad, I think, that for whatever reason it's not working out. It might be a competence issue, or it might be a lack of skills issue, or it might be that the church has changed or the ministry's changed and the requirement. There's a whole lot of reasons. But if you don't track on a regular basis, those issues aren't... There's no opportunity for development.
Mm.
And I think that's a problem.
What about just relationship within the staff team and where you get to kind of just... How do you, as the senior leader, make sure you're putting in relational time into the team?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's also just worth saying here is... you know, the outworking of one of those differences between the church world and the ministry world and the secular world.
Yeah.
Because we're an organisation about relationships. Yeah. Jesus has come and died so we can have relationship with him and each other.
Yeah. And so there's a much higher expectation of relationships.
Yeah. So most of the time when I meet with staff, just the relational dimension, how they're going, that's where we start.
Yeah.
So it happens at that level. In my own context, we also have regular staff lunches that just don't include the staff but also their families, if they have families. We invest in each other's lives in that way.
Uh-huh.
And it's a really high priority for us.
How often do you do them?
Oh, we might have five a year, something like that. Yeah. I do it on a Sunday after church so student ministers can be part of that. And it's a special time. In fact, one of them said the other day, we're having a staff lunch the other day, and just on the way over, she said to me, I really enjoy staff lunches. It's just like a family.
Isn't that great?
And I just thought, it was entirely unsolicited. She just was looking forward to having a couple of hours over lunch with the staff team.
Great.
So that warmed my heart.
Yeah.
You know, to hear that. That represents... you know, healthy relationships in a team.
Yeah.
And we invest in that. And so, in fact, in the process of recruiting, I talk about that. I say we have to invest in each other's, you know, lives. And
you set the expectation.
Set the expectation.
In the interview process that I'll expect you to come to staff lunch.
Yeah, but again, Dominic, it's not an antagonistic thing. No. It's a joy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we want to do this. And I think people love it.
Yeah.
If a staff team of a church is not going well...
then the whole place isn't going to go well.
It's going to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think part of my role is to really...
make that work.
You know, invest deeply. But the tracking area is just an ongoing thing. And I now understand, of course, of Jill and Peter Chill and others, this is actually where the secular world is moving. You know, less about the annual review or the six-monthly review and more about continuous conversations.
Yeah.
So we think we've worked out a way to help people with that, which is part of the course we teach. Yeah.
We could keep talking.
We could.
And we will have you back again. Raj Gupta has been my guest, Senior Minister of Toongabie Anglican Church and a consultant with the Centre for Ministry Development in Sydney. You're on The Pastor's Heart. Next week we're talking to David Jones, Presbyterian minister from Tasmania, about 40 years of ministry, 5 church plants, 2 repottings, heaps of wisdom. We're looking forward to that. Hope you'll join us.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover the Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.